Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. Let's see, what have we got going on here? Well, I think we've got the archive situation in our on the website all straightened out now, so you'll know. Yeah, time. We went through a couple of headaches there with our service provider, and so finally I think we got it. We had to upgrade our Podbean and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but it's all sorted out now, so we're back to being able to download right off the archive page and all that stuff. So that's good news. So a lot of things going on. We put some stuff up just recently this week in the news section. If you check it out, thanks to some suggestions from Crystal, I came across this guy that put a website together that is called WellAware1.com. That's WellAware, the number 1.com. Everybody, go take a look at that. It's some impressive research the guy's done, and really open your eyes. So I won't go into it too much. I'll have you guys just go take a look at it. It's in our news section, and if you scroll down on the main page, and there's a link there to it. I would definitely suggest you go check it out. Also, we've put right on the main page, we put a big link banner page there, free energy. Get some trying to help these guys, get some funding for some of this energy. There's some stuff out there that the research that they're doing is showing some amazing results for absolutely negating all the radiation effects that are we're suffering right now in the world. So this is all, the John Searle stuff and that sort of thing, the Hutchinson stuff. So if any of their preliminary results are valid stuff, man, we really need to support that stuff and do what we can to make that happen. I mean, we are stepping into a new paradigm, and we need to help things along at the best that we can. So Ramon and I are doing what we can to help promote this stuff, and hopefully in the near future here we'll get Jason Verbelli on the show and talk to him about this stuff. He's been doing quite a bit of promotion for these guys, so that's all good stuff. So also, Ramon and I do work for a living, blue-collar type guys, and all of this is coming out of our own pockets. So if you have a couple of bucks to throw our way, hit the donate tab and help us out, because what we're doing is some important stuff, I think. So help support us. We're also going to be starting to offer some t-shirts for those who want to donate. So keep an eye out for that.
Yay, t-shirt.
Yeah, so I'll be picking up the first batch of them to take to the East Eddy Ranch next week. And once I get those, I'll get some pictures of them and get them posted on the website too. And something to help us offset the cost of the website and all the other things that are associated with running this radio show. So anyways, so Ramon, you got anything else?
Yeah, I was going to say, if when we ask for donations, we really don't ask for much. Even a dollar, 50 cents goes a long way. If a few of you guys do that, it will really help us.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to mention was the Diamond Heart trip that we're planning for 2012. July. We want to get like an estimate group of who would like to go. And if you can scroll down, you'll see Diamond Her.
Yeah, I think the date's still flexible. I mean, May or June is still good. We probably should do a little bit of preliminary investigation on cost and see if there's any big breaks in the airlines and stuff for different months. So, and go for the bargain basement thing there.
Yeah, usually July is always expensive because that's when most people take their vacation.
Yeah. So we'll do some more investigation into it and post some stuff there. So who do we got tonight, Ramon?
We have, let me scroll down. We have Dr. Joseph Mara. Joe is a doctor of nursing practice and has an established practice in Altoona, Pennsylvania, called the Urgent Care Center, open from 9 to 4:30, 5 days a week, practicing traditional medicine in conjunction with the more holistic approaches. Joe is also a hypnotherapist, Reiki master, an intuitive healer, and spiritual counselor. Basically, he offers a full range of health care modalities addressing most health concerns and has made it his mission to be of service to all in all areas of body, mind, spirit, which translates to health in its wholeness or holistic health care. Joe teaches teachings have been heard all over the globe on his Universal Talk radio show. He hosts many unconventional and informative guest speakers from the metaphysical, spiritual, and paranormal communities from all over the world. He does this to help us with connecting the dots to this puzzle that we call life, or at least paint a more complete picture of humanity's true potential. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
So, Joe, I noticed reading your bio there that we do have something in common. You were a general contractor before you got into the nursing thing?
Well, yes and no. I was in the contracting, but I kind of put myself through school while I was doing it. I did general construction for probably 15, almost 20 years. In fact, I was doing it up until about 3 years ago. I did my last addition on a home that was 32 by 32, and I put an addition that was 32 by 32, and then I put a garage on that was like 28 by 32, I believe.
Well, it's a nice. So, construction, you know, I found a lot of parables building houses. I did custom houses for 20 years, and I was doing that trade while I had my wake-up call. And I began to see a lot of parallels between how you build a house and how you build a solid and honorable life. You know, setting a good foundation. It all starts with the foundation. If your foundation is true and square, the rest of the house goes together so much easier.
Absolutely.
So, what got you into this this genre?
Well, I even as a child, I remember kind of being the black sheep of the family and bucking the system the whole way through. I remember my mother dragging me to CCD or church, kicking and screaming, and I just couldn't believe that there's a forgiving, loving God that would hurt his children in any way, shape, or form to control them or for behavioral modification or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, if we're here with free will, why would a God make you do anything like go to church or, you know, pray at a certain time? And, you know, I always thought there was something wrong with that. And then people would say that if you're a different religion, like I was born and raised Catholic, if you're born and raised another religion, then you're going to go to hell. And I'm thinking, well, how, if you're born on the other side of the planet, how could you possibly be responsible for, you know, going the right direction when that's all you've known, and because it was something that was influenced by your culture or your parents. And I just never could buy into that. Hmm. So, you know, as time went on, you know, I did my own research, and as I was going through college, of course, I went to a Catholic college for my associate and my bachelor's degree, and they make you take different religions, but they also make you take sociology, philosophy, of course, religion. So along the way, meeting various people from all walks of life and treating various people within my day-to-day practice, you just have a new look on life, and you see different cultures and how they are, and again, you question, and then the only way to really get the answers is to do further research outside the box. And when I was, I think I was around my late 20s, 28 or something like that, I had a near-death experience. And I was driving my pickup truck, and I went around the sharp turn and I missed the curb and went through this guy's solid block wall through his garage. And for those who don't know, there are two types of near-death experiences. There's the one that you leave your body and you see the white light, and you go down the tunnel and you meet your angels or guides on the other side, which a lot of people talk about. Then there's the other type, which is more of an impact, and it changes your DNA structure, not initially or not right away, but because of such an impact, there's a 10-year change, if you will. That's the best way I can put it. Over 10 years it takes for this to totally manifest in you, to totally wake up. And that's the type that I had. And when I had the impact right away, you know, I don't know how I lived through this. If you would see the pictures of this pickup truck in the garage, there's no way anybody should live through such a thing. But I only come out with literally a little scratch on my right hand. And from that point on, I just did further research, and, you know, I went through my master's program, which I became a nurse practitioner in family medicine, and then furthered my degree with this doctorate that I just received in December. But along the way, you treat a lot of patients, and things they don't teach you in school are the esoteric things. Like, people will come in with near-death experiences. They come in as either psychics or mediums, however you want to term them. I've had various people, like black ops people, that come into my office, FBI, CIA. People from all over the world come to urgent care centers when they're traveling. So all of a sudden, you see all this, and you're not trained to deal with it. Oh, I've also had underground base guys there. So all these things that aren't supposed to exist, there it is in front of me. And how do you deal with that if you're not open-minded? You can't treat everybody with a pill and say, well, yeah, I think you're a little crazy here. You're bipolar, you're schizophrenic, so here's a medicine, and see you in a couple weeks. And what that means to me is you're really like a legalized drug dealer.
Well, actually, I would have to say, from my experience with the medical community, that's what most people do, is they just write you a prescription and send you down the road. They don't ask those other questions.
Well, you know, because of my curiosity, I want to experience life. So, you know, further down the road there, right before I got my doctorate in 2008, another physician and I went and took kind of a road trip. He told me about this incident that he had in an ER, and a lady happened to come in, and her husband, who had a heart attack, and he was taking care of the husband. And to make a long story short, he goes upstairs to check on the guy later, and the wife comes over to him and says, you have this guy standing beside you, and he looks like Colonel Sanders. And he's like, oh, my God, that's my uncle who died so-and-so, you know, so long ago. And right away, you know, first of all, this guy was very skeptical. But when she started saying specifics to him, like what really happened in childhood when a dog of his died, and his name was Peanuts, and he really enjoyed the words that you said whenever you buried him when he died. I mean, things that this woman could never have known. And so right away, he was a believer. So anyway, he wanted to go see this lady like 5 or 6 years later. And that's when this gentleman and myself met. And he said, let's go on this road trip. I want to show you this lady. She's a psychic. And of course, I was into that thing. And at the time, this lady was friends with a Reiki master. So we thought, well, heck, if we're on a road trip, we'll do the Reiki thing and, you know, maybe get a reading from this psychic. And, I mean, I don't know, want to take up all the time telling you the story, but I'm telling you, we were both, when we left there, we were floored. We're like, this is just crazy. Like, how is this possible? And basically what I've come to the acknowledgement is that some of these psychics and some of the other gifts that people have, every single person on this planet can do it. It's basically, that's our highest potential. If you would combine everything together, that's what we could possibly be. And so if you look at humanity as a whole, and the scientists tell us that we're only using 3% of our DNA, and the rest is, you know, the rest is junk, which I think is ridiculous. And then we only use 8 to 10% of our brain. So if you would use 100% of both, what would you have? Would that be our next leap in evolution, this Homo Illumius or Illuminus, what the people are saying that we're going to evolve into? I mean, is that what Jesus – I mean, maybe he came into this life and he had his DNA turned up or his consciousness or his brain fully functional. Basically, I say what if, because, you know, these are just things, just thoughts to ponder. If other people can do it, well, why can't we do it?
Exactly.
Yeah. With the psychic, what was it that she's, if you don't mind going into specific, what was it that she said that floored you?
Well, my stepdad passed away in 2007. He was involved in a he was a lineman, which they work on these power lines. And from, I live in central Pennsylvania, so he had to travel for storm work, which was I don't know if it was thunderstorms or what at that. Well, I guess it was in the middle of winter, so it was December 19th of 2007. And he was working on some power lines, and he comes down, and he had to cross the road because apparently him and the crew he was with were in a work truck, and somebody T-boned them. Well, the officer was on the other side of the road and motioning them to come across, each one of them individually, to give their statement. Well, as he was walking or running across the road, he ended up getting hit by a oncoming driver and had a sudden impact.
And the cop cop motioned him across?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is all – I mean, this is just – I don't want to get into all that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, trust me. It's just – it's crazy what all is involved in this whole thing and how there's – well, that gets into judgment, which I really don't want to do because I'm trying to stay away from that. And I am human, so I try to stay away from that. But basically, I go up to this lady. She didn't know anything about this. And as soon as I sat down to her, she's, you know, doing her thing and sitting there. And within a minute, all of a sudden, she, like, goes back into the couch like she had an impact. And she, like, held her chest and she couldn't catch her breath. She was like, oh, my God, okay. Okay, and she was talking to this person, you know, or this being, saying, okay, honey, pull back away from me. That's enough. I get it. I understand what you're saying. And then she looks at me and she says, did you have a father figure that passed recently with an impact? And this was like 2 months after it happened.
Wow.
I'm like floored. That's what I mean when I'm floored. I'm like, how would she know any of this stuff? I didn't know this lady. She was like 2.5-3 hours away from my house. I never met her before. And, you know, so she tells me that stuff. And, of course, I'm floored. And then I go into the Reiki room. And this Reiki master, she lays her hands on my chest. She starts at the head and works her way down, of course. When she gets to my chest, she puts her hands on me. And it felt like she took two irons and stuck them on my chest. And, of course, you're there laying with your eyes closed and you're listening to music and you're not supposed to look. But I'm, like, one eye open, like, is she putting her hands on a hot plate or something and sticking them back on me? What the heck is going on here? Because I'm trained in traditional medicine, you know. And this is back in, I think, 2008. Yeah. And so I was sold. I'm like, okay, how do I do this? I want to become a Reiki master because I could really help my patients by doing this. But I got to tell you, hypnotherapy, Reiki – any energy work, it's not well received in the general population of medicine. I can tell you, my colleagues think you're cooking for Cocoa Puffs when you even, you know, talk about it.
Yeah.
But I thought that it, you know, patients come in all the time. They want to heal naturally. They don't want a pill. So I thought it would be responsible for me to do some extra research and get credentialed or whatever, get educated, I guess you will, and other genres. And offer that to them and say, okay, look, here's traditionally this is what we would do, but this is your alternative. How do you want to proceed? And basically I give it back to them and I leave it to their choice because ultimately we all should be responsible for ourselves and our own health care. And that's been taken away from people. People think that they should come to the doctor and say, look, what do you think I should do? Even after you give them the options, they say, well, what do you think? And I say, you need to decide for yourself. I mean, A lot of times it comes down to your belief system also.
Right.
I mean, if you believe a pill is going to work for you, then guess what? It's going to work. So I don't argue with it. It all comes down to their belief system, their consciousness. And that's why we really shouldn't be judging one another, because we're just at different awarenesses. That's all.
Yeah, it sounds like you had quite a you've had quite a whirlwind awakening here in the last couple of years.
Oh, well, let me go on. So, you know, law of attraction states that you know, whatever you're putting out there, you're going to magnify and get back. So, in 2008, I set out to be a Reiki master, and I was also, I opened my urgent care center, I guess, in 2006, so I've already been practicing independently for 2 years, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to do the Reiki thing, and also at that same time, maybe a month later or so, I wanted to be a hypnotherapist, so I started into that training as well. Well, you know, 6 months goes by, and I'm like, how in the heck am I going to do both of these at my family medicine and urgent care center? It's so busy. I don't think I could do both at the same time. It's nice to offer it and educate people. And you know what? That week, a lady comes into my practice and leaves a card, and I was in between patients. I was taking her chart out to the receptionist, and I overheard this woman speaking and saying, hey, I'm a hypnotherapist, and if he needs any help with smoking cessation, here's my card, and, you know, he can refer patients to me. I didn't let that lady leave the room. I ran out there. I said, hey, I have one more patient to see this afternoon, and I would love to talk to you. Well, it turns out that not only is this person a hypnotherapist, but she's a Reiki master. And also, she's a channel, which she didn't even realize. She was kind of a psychic, but she didn't know it. Well, over the next 2.5 years, every day at lunchtime and every day after work, and sometimes 3 times a day, I was her facilitator, and I was there as her protector and all that stuff. And she went into these deep channels every single day, like sometimes 2, sometimes 3 times a day. And we honed this skill to the point where you could ask her any question and get an answer. And it was, you know, 99% accurate. I mean, it's amazing what the human being can do. And until you witness it, I mean, it sounds crazy, but if it's right in front of you, what are you going to do with it? You can't deny it. So, yeah, when you say I've had an eye-opener of an experience over the past couple of years, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen things happening. Oh, it's just amazing.
Now, in your healing practice, what is the most amazing healing that you've witnessed or been a part of?
Oh, my. I've seen so many, but one that stands out is a gentleman that came in, and he smoked, and he was an independent contractor, and he inspected elevators. He didn't have any insurance because he was independent, and, you know, he couldn't afford it. So he came into me with a cough, and he'd already been seen a couple of times from other doctors, and I just had a feeling. I says, boy, I think you need a chest x-ray. I understand you don't have insurance, and typically that would sway my decision about not getting one. But I said, I think you really need this. And so he went for the chest x-ray, and it ended up he had some masses in his lungs. And I thought, oh, man, I hate being right all the time. You know, just my ego. Just,
right.
I say that all the time jokingly, so I'm just kidding. But, you know, I'm like, oh, man, now what? So I call him back in. Know that he doesn't have insurance, and I know what it's going to cost him to get a CAT scan and to go down this road. And I says, look, you need this. I, you know, you're going to have to make payments or something, but this is something you can't blow off. So he went in for the CAT scan, which further confirmed there were masses. It wasn't like a shadow or anything, because really CTs and MRIs look for soft tissue, whereas the x-rays are more hard tissue like bone. So we need a more specific study. And an MRI would have been maybe a little better at that, but the CT is cheaper. So anyway, all these things play through your head in medicine when you're trying to treat a person. First thing I have to look at when I grab their chart is, do they or do they not have insurance? Because that dictates which way I can treat them. Because if they can't afford the medicine I'd prescribe or an x-ray or something, then, you know.
Look for other options, yeah.
Yeah. And what's. You know, then you're up for litigation and all kinds of stuff. And the patient, unfortunately, you know, some doctors won't even take patients that don't have insurance for that reason, because then they're liable if you say, look, you need an x-ray or you need a CAT scan, and they refuse because they don't have insurance. Well, now the physician is liable. So anyway, this gentleman was diagnosed with lung cancer, and he went to the oncologist, and then they further did a CAT scan of his head, in which it metastasized, and he had a brain tumor. And the oncologist told him that he would be dead in 2 months. And this was like August. And when he came to me, I said, you know what, don't listen to that. I mean, any doctor that takes your hope away, I have no respect for it. I never tell people that. So I said, here's your options. You can go through the traditional medicine, or you can do some of this energy healing that we do here with hypnotherapy, or you can do both. So he decided to do both. And he told me that day, he says, you'll be getting a Christmas card from me. And I says, you know what? That's a good attitude. That's what I want to hear. Well, he was coming in for hypnotherapy treatment and for energy therapy. And, you know, he was doing great. I mean, he was also doing, he was going to the oncologist and receiving chemo and radiation. And, the oncologist says, whatever you're doing, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it, because I don't know why you're still alive. And then there was a lapse in time where he stopped coming into us because he felt great, you know. And me and my friend Terry, the woman I was telling you about earlier, she was the psychic, she was doing her healing work on him as well. And I didn't hear from him in December, and I thought, oh, man, I wonder if he passed away. Or here he comes in January. He looked really, really good, but he had a bronchitis. So I had to treat him with what I normally would. And I told him to go back to the oncologist, and, you know, and that oncologist says, look, whatever that other guy's doing for you, keep going to him, because whatever he's doing, he's doing a good job. And to me, I thought, okay, that's great. Because really the only thing I was doing was the energy work and some hypnotherapy. Well, long story short, this guy ended up living a year and a half, and he ended up passing away. He stopped doing the hypnotherapy, you know, he kind of laxed on that, and he's kind of laxed on the energy work. But ultimately, I think why he didn't totally heal was because he didn't quit smoking. And he loved it. And, you know, if you love something, you know, but his body was telling him, look, this isn't good for you, and you probably should quit. So I really think that if he would just totally would have quit that, he would have been healed 100%. And I don't think, I'm not saying it was me or Terry that did it. We were just the tools to allow the energy to flow through us to assist him in his own healing process. And some of it has to do with belief also. If you truly believe you're going to be healed, I mean, thought does become reality. I've seen it a million times. It is what it is.
Yeah.
That's the most amazing case. So, you know, it wasn't like he was totally healed, but that's the closest thing to, you know, somebody on their way out that could have been healed. But at least I kept him alive for not me personally, but, you know, God or the angels or the guides or whoever, the energy that came through us, and plus his own thought and motivation for living, kept him alive much longer than the oncologist gave him anyway.
Yeah. I've kind of like, when it comes to traditional medicine, I've kind of lost my hope with them. I know you shouldn't throw everything completely out the window, you know, the baby and the bathwater, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm seeing so much corruption in the pharmaceutical companies and how they're manipulating regulations and laws and how they have a tendency to squash all these wonderful new technology or old technologies or old remedies that people are rediscovering and bringing out, and they tend to get squashed, like the Rife machine, for example. That's one that just popped into my head. I mean, that kind of technology and that's proven to work that gets totally stomped on by the pharmaceuticals. So.
Oh, I have no doubt. And I agree with you. One thing that is maybe a misperception is that doctors get a kickback or something like that from the pharmaceutical companies. And really, in today, like, and because I'm living it and I'm working in it, I don't get any offers for kickbacks or anything like that. In fact, years ago, they would take the physicians golfing and on these elaborate trips, which none of that's allowed anymore. I mean, they've gotten to the point where they can't even give us pens or tablets or anything that we give our patients. I mean, it's really strict in that respect. But as far as the research end of it goes, absolutely. I mean, they've probably put commercials on TV. I'm saying probably, I don't have no proof of this, but, you know, I see the manipulation in the media in so many different ways, and I see how the pharmaceutical companies do work. But yet, I think this is a transition right now in this timeline that we're on with humanity. And we're transitioning from a three-dimensional to a fourth, and then some of us to a fifth-dimensional reality. And because thought becomes reality, wherever your consciousness is where you're at. So if you believe in traditional medicine, then of course it's going to work for you. But as these energies raise, as we're going into this 2012 phenomenon thing, I mean, there's so many variables that we need to discuss, and hopefully I can hit on some of them. But there are many influences that that help us along the way or hinder us. And one of which is the consciousness field that's all around us. And if the more people that believe in one thing, it becomes a reality within the dimension that you're living in. So say, for instance, they say that eggs are bad for you and it causes high cholesterol. If, say, 90% of the population believes that, then guess what? That becomes reality. And if you eat eggs, they can do the research and they can do the blood work and your cholesterol's high. But if, 45% of the people believe that, then it's not true. And basically, that's how they manipulate. And when I say they, I mean the powers that be that are controlling this world. They have found that through fear and doubt and manipulation, that they can influence the general population in the consciousness field by putting all this stuff out through CNN or whatever. I mean, I don't want to pick on one station, but I mean, when you own everything, you can do what you want. So they manipulate it that way, and people lose their own control, their own power because of fear. They think they need to look outside themselves to heal themselves or just to make any decision, like whether to drive down the road. I mean, it's ridiculous these days. So one of the variables is this consciousness field. And when you do the research into it, you find out that, wow, this is really going on. I mean, if you consider the people that go to a church to pray, it's not the church itself that causes the miracle. It's the collective of the people that are in the church with the same intent and the same thought. That's what creates the miracle. And it's not the religion, it's the people in the church that all bind together and they have the same thought for the same purpose and bam, all of a sudden a miracle. Well, that's how consciousness works around the globe. And it also works that way with energy. So, for instance, if my vibratory frequency is a certain frequency and I stand next to someone who's a little bit lower than me, their frequency will raise to meet mine. Or if I'm next to someone who has a higher frequency than me, then I raise to meet theirs. But also with energy, and the way the law of attraction works, is, you know, you attract your own frequency to yourself. And that's why you'll see people, and you hear that old phrase where birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
Well, there's some truth to that. And that is because they're at the same vibrational frequency. I mean, you consider, you know, the human body has five senses as tools to navigate through this thing we call light. And say the bandwidth of light, just because we're on the radio, just say it's 20 inches wide. Well, the bandwidth of human vision is only like an inch within the middle of that. So what is beyond that vision or that spectrum? You can't, just because you can't see it or perceive it, don't mean it's not there. I mean, look at gravity. We don't really know it's there. Somebody told us, a scientist said it's there and it's holding us to this earth, but what tool do we have to measure that? There's, you know, there's so many things that are out there that we don't really know because we can't perceive them yet. But I think that's what our highest potential is in humanity. And we're going for some of these things that other psychics can do and vision beyond vision and just some of this crazy stuff that I've seen. I mean, I'm all about it. I want to be able to levitate and all this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Too,
you
So have you? And I was going to say bilocate's the big one with me.
Yeah. Just
make it easier to travel.
I had a patient that they could do that. If you want that story, I'll tell it real quick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, when I first started my own independent practice, I mean, it was a really little office, and there's like one phone and like one exam table. And I'm sitting by the phone tapping my fingers like, oh, I hope somebody calls, you know. And then it went from that to like 6,000 patients, the phone ringing off the hook, and five exam rooms and five other nurse practitioners working for me. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the growth whenever you really work at something. But anyway, this is early on, so I was a little green at the time. But this lady walks in. She's a guidance counselor from the local school district. And she says, she's a new patient. She says, you know, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, so could you just put me on a medicine another doctor put me on, and we'll be fine. And I'm like, well, I need a little more information than that. Like, what's going on here? Well, she says, all right, fine, I'll just tell you. I fly outside my body, and I can't control it. I know, I'm crazy, right? So, of course, I'm you've got my – full attention. I'm like, oh, well, tell me more about this. This is cool. Yeah. So she's like, oh, you into this stuff? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really into this stuff. So tell me the story. So she says, well, okay, just like yesterday, I'm on the couch downstairs. My husband's upstairs on the computer. And in a thought, I thought, I wonder what he's doing. And in an instant, like snap of the fingers thing, she's standing beside him looking at the computer and what he's doing and stuff. And then, so he comes down and she says, what were you doing on that website? Blah, 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 blah. And he was like, you need to quit doing that kind of stuff, you know? So he was there to confirm what she was telling me in the office. And she didn't like that because she didn't know how to control it. And I says, oh my gosh, do you realize what a gift this is? I'd love to be able to do that. And she says, oh no, it scares me. Just give me the medicine. I'm like, well, you know, this is your choice. I would advise against it. I think this is normal. I don't think it's abnormal. I think this is a natural thing. And, you know, people call it paranormal. I think it's just normal. But I gave her the medicine. She came in a couple weeks later. She says, thank you. I'm in my body. I'm not flying out at will randomly. And that was that visit. I thought, man, show me how to do that because I'd love to try that.
There's a medicine that would actually keep you from doing that?
Well, yeah. A lot of the medicines that we prescribe today, I found out that hinder much of your third eye, and I can't prove it, but I wonder if it's a 2-for-1 type deal. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll control your anxiety, depression, but we're also gonna minimize the use of your third eye.
Exactly.
You know, now that you say that, I have a friend who suffers from bipolar.
Right.
And I'm not sure that it's bipolar because she also channels.
Oh.
But I think she's too open. So she channels a lot of – sometimes she channels the wrong things. And she's sat there and she'll channel and she'll tell me some things that would just floor me.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, when I started this 2008, Terry and I, when we started channeling – there's a progression, and, you know, you go up the levels. I mean, we started out with the astral realm and worked our way the whole way up to the ET realm and the masters. And, I mean, we channeled all these things. But once you – as you raise in consciousness and awareness and you're protecting yourself each time, and you really should never do that stuff alone. But as you raise in your consciousness, awareness, you started getting into these higher realms that you don't really attract any of the negativity anymore. Unless you specifically ask for it to come in. But, you know, of course, we never did that. We wanted the highest intent and the highest beings to come in to give us, you know, what's in the greatest good of everyone that's involved. And that's basically what we – it's kind of a little prayer we say. And I have a website that I just created, and I'm just starting to do this for people that are psychics and mediums and channelers that need some guidance, and the website is called aguidinglight.com, LITE. And that's what I offer, because basically, who do you go to when you have these gifts and you're in this state of confusion? you really need someone who's experienced this that can kind of guide you along the way and tell you what to do and what not to do. And I really think that that's where humanity's going. And I really think I've come here to help humanity transition or bridge the gap from where we were to where we're going. And you have to be open-minded enough to say, not be on either extreme and be all medicine, you know, traditional medicine, or all, you know, the spirit world in order to do this transition thing. You have to be open. You have to know about awarenesses, consciousness, dimensions. I mean, there's so many things that it's just amazing. But anyway, the reason I put that out there is if anybody needs some help, I mean, I'm willing to do that. And I'm kind of just starting into that. I mean, I've done it in my own office and practice.
Yeah. Is there a way, because I'm sure if not all, the majority of our listeners, including myself, when we want to go to doctors, we want to go to doctors like you. We don't want to go to the traditional doctors. I'll give you an example. The other day I went to my dentist and he's telling me, oh, you know, you need a fluoride bath on your teeth. And I said, oh, I don't do fluoride. And right. He goes, and he's explaining to me why I should do fluoride. I said, well, you know that there's a lot of documents out there of other dentists that have done research that's saying that that's not true. So, you know, from the research I've done, I don't want any fluoride. And he just sits there and laughs. And I'm like, any other scientist would say, okay, let me see what you're talking about. Can you bring me those documents? But he just ignored everything I said and was like, okay, that's your choice. Kind of like.
Right.
Like.
Well, what you should do the next time you go in there is show him the documentation from Dr. I can't remember his name, but he was a dentist that came out with most of this stuff. And I don't know if he's from Hawaii. And I don't know. His last name sounds like, I don't know if it's Kenowitz or something like that. Man, I wish I had that. I have to do a little research. I'll get back to you guys on it. But
okay, great.
Yeah. I've been trying to remember. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. He's also, I think he went to Washington with it or something like that.
Probably. I mean, he's pretty big out there. Like if you Googled it or YouTube anything about like fluoride, I mean, he comes out, he talks about immunizations and he's done his research. I mean, you know, he's a dentist, but he is credentialed. He is a smart man. And, you know, so. You got to be discernful about who you listen to about what, obviously. Yeah. But if you're talking about traditional medicine and someone who's also trying to bridge the gap or teach other people, you know, that's who you want on in your corner. Someone who has practiced medicine in some fashion, but has found, you know, that, hey, you know what, maybe this isn't the right way for everybody.
Yeah. So the question I was going to ask is, do you know like a list, like for example, if someone in New York City wanted to go see somebody like yourself that they can't afford to drive 5 hours?
Yeah. Has anybody compiled any kind of a database that shows those types of doctors?
I've been asked that same question a couple other times, and it's funny to me that you guys, and I don't want to say, you know, generalize, but different people have said that to me. It's like, oh wow. Yeah, maybe I should do that, or maybe somebody should do that, because I think this is such a new thing that and there are not a lot of doctors that do this, because I'll tell you what, in the mainstream medicine, first of all, you're ridiculed not only by your patients sometimes or people in the community, but also your colleagues.
Right.
And they want to run you out of town because they're like, look, you're a quack, and you get all kind of negativity and names, and it's pretty tough to live this lifestyle. And you know, when I did it in my own hometown, I did the Universal Talk Radio show, which was internet-based, so I didn't get a lot of flack with that. But I did a local TV show, Universal Talk. And, you know, a lot of my patients would come in and say, hey, I saw you on TV. That was really interesting. And even if they didn't understand it or weren't with it, they didn't judge, and they didn't, because they respected me for who I was as a provider of care in the community. And so basically, though, I mean, the reason why there's probably not a database of people that do it is there's just not a lot of people that either do it and or they're not willing to admit it and go out, you know, and to the general public.
Right.
I think it's become more and more open, especially here's another thing. Geographically speaking, on the East Coast, it's not, it, or up until this point, it hasn't been well acknowledged at all. Whereas in the West Coast, we're going out West and you know, it's more acceptable.
I was just about to say that it always seems that everything happens on the West Coast, because when I was living in New York, I could never find any conferences. I could never find anything. Every time I look something up, oh, it's in Vegas. Oh, it's in L.A.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one guy. I can't remember his name. You might be familiar with him. He has a practitioner, and he has the way same thinking as you in California. I don't know where in California his practice is. I can't remember his name right now.
See, and like I'm not real familiar with other people that do what I do, and it's almost shocking sometimes to hear when someone else adds it to their traditional medicine because it's so rare. And I'm like, oh wow. But you know what? The general population, the public who want to come in, they actually enjoy it, and they refer other patients that are like, hey, I heard you do Reiki. Can you do that for me? And you know, considering I see so many people. I can only see someone every 10 to 15 minutes with traditional medicine. And for something like hypnotherapy or Reiki, that takes about an hour. So it takes a lot of your time. And, you know, you can see 8 people in a day compared to, you know, 4 times that much with traditional medicine. But
I think it
comes down to the belief system and giving somebody the opportunity to choose. That's the choice is what I like the best of.
Yeah. Well, I think you're kind of on the leading edge of where we are going with healthcare, from what I'm seeing here. And what I feel is that, I mean, this is, I see when this shift is closer to being complete, I would say that the majority of all healthcare will be along the same lines of what you're doing right now.
Well, that's a big subject, because basically you're right, but depends on what dimension you're talking about, because not every single person is going to transition into the fourth or the fifth. I mean, it depends, but you got to consider that there are baby souls here, there are ancient old souls here, there are ET souls that are incarnated into the human form just by the vibration that they carry to help the planet raise in its vibration and help humanity raise in its vibration. And this game that's being played, I mean, if you become the observer and you're outside the solar system looking at this, and basically that's what all these ETs and these interdimensional beings, I mean, this is a spectacle for people to watch. They're like, wow, this is something that's really going on with humanity and raising in this consciousness right now. And look at the game players here. You got these Illuminati or these other guys that are out there that are want to hang on to the power and the money and the control. And then you got human beings who have been lied to most of their life and dumbed down and fed chemicals and the foods and the chemtrails and all the other things to keep you down. And out of all of that, humanity is still raising in consciousness. It's mm-hmm. just amazing how open people are. Here's an example. My girlfriend and I, we went to this place called Angel Welcome. Wonderful place in Ohio. Well, Sunday morning we get up and we get on for breakfast, and there are two other couples there. And one was an older gentleman in the corner who was maybe mid-70s, and he was talking about energy medicine and HemiSync and all this stuff that he was speaking my language. And because my girlfriend and I came late, we kind of weren't included in the conversation, and they were like really fixated in what they were talking about. So we just were eating and listening. So within 10 minutes, they were getting pretty deep into the subject, and the older gentleman says, well, I better not say anything else or people think I'm crazy. So I waited a second and I says, can I chime in here? And they all looked at me and said, well, yeah. And of course I had to speak my truth, and I'm like, look, I agree with you. Energy, blah, 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 blah. And they're all like, wow, this is really amazing that we all met at this particular place at this particular time. And we're all on the same page about what's going on the planet. And what was, amazing to me is we're on the East Coast, you know, like I said, And more people, even the older people who traditionally are not open to this type of thing, are awakening to this. It's so exciting to me. It's like, wow, you know, 5 years ago, you would have never saw that. And being open to talk about it.
Yeah, things are changing really fast. Really fast. Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name, but the book he wrote was Germs Don't Kill Patients, Doctors Kill Patients, or something like that.
Yeah, I heard of that. I never read that book.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm still a little undecided it's a little hazy to me how this shift and how the division into the dimensions is going to take place. You know, I don't quite have that picture in my mind yet.
Well, like I said, there's so many variables and there's so many truths. And here's the biggest key. Here's the biggest thing that I learned out of all this. It's every single person has their own truth. And let me explain that. When I started on this mission, I mean, I wanted to know the truth. I said, man, I just want to know it. Tell it to me so I can go tell everybody what the hell is really going on on this planet, because I know it ain't right. Well, once I started realizing that, you know, my own truth would change from week to week. What I believe today may not be what I believed last week because I've gained an awareness. Like, oh, I never saw it that way, but now I do. Oh, I was so stupid for thinking that. But that's me judging myself. I really wasn't stupid. I just wasn't there. Right. But now I have this new awareness. So depending how open each individual person is to allow the energies that are flowing through from the center of the universe, the black hole, if you will, from all the other planets, from these, if you want to call them ET, they're just our star brothers, basically. They're outside and inside our solar system, the interdimensional, but they're all sending us this energy. If you just individually open up to it and allow it to flow freely through you, and if you accept it and you go within, like if you meditate, those are the key things to this ascension. And a lot of us get bogged down by programs that we've been taught over the years, and we think this is the right thing to do, in quotes, you know. But really, you know, these are just traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation, and it might not apply anymore. I mean, with these new awarenesses that we're getting, things that were acceptable at one time are no longer acceptable. And, you know, basically what's really going on here is unconditional love is where we're going. And so that means no judgment for anybody. And just allowing them to be who they are. And if they don't suit you, then you just move away from them. And you go to someone who is more suitable to your energy level or to your behavior or however you want to look at it. And you shouldn't judge yourself, I shouldn't say we all do, but I know I do at times. I'm like, why did I do that? And you beat yourself up. And instead, you should truly love yourself unconditionally before you can go out and try to love somebody else. Because what we've been taught is love has conditions to it. Well, I'll love you if you do this, 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 and this. But if you don't, then I don't love you. Well, that's not true unconditional love, you know? And in these higher dimensions, that's where, and I really think that's where Christ consciousness came from, the fifth dimension. And that's what Jesus was teaching here is unconditional love. Love thy brother. And all the things he said, some of it got, you know, changed and perversed and all that stuff. But a lot of the teachings, there was some truth in the Bible, you know, that I've studied. But this shift in consciousness that we're talking about here, I think we all have a choice. If you're not ready for it, then, you know, considering we live thousands of lives or millions of lives, you'll get it the next time. You know, you've come in here maybe just for one mission, and that might be just to help some other person, you know, raising their consciousness just enough to raise from the third to the fourth dimension. And that might have been your mission. So, you know, if you pull your spirit, and if we're all made in the image of God, and we have the spark-like soul in the center of us, which most religions believe, if you pull that spirit outside of your physical body, there's no time, because we think of time as linear. There's no judgment. So if I if I said F you to whoever, you know, on the other side, they sit there and laugh at me because, quite frankly, I'm a law of attraction. It's coming back to me. It's just hurting me. It doesn't hurt anybody else. And that's the hilarious thing about some of the things we think of. Law of attraction is, you know, if we're thinking negative thoughts all the time, guess what? We're attracting that to us ourselves. Even if we say, I don't want that, we're attracting that very thing to ourselves by saying that. So it's being mindful of the thought that we have. It's loving yourself unconditionally, not judging yourself or other people, and, you know, living in the present moment, like right here, right now. Don't worry about what's going to happen next week, and don't worry about, you know, this, the planetary disasters, if you will. And, you know, I got caught up in that at one time, too. I mean, but I think that everything has changed since all those old predictions. I think that humanity and this consciousness has risen so fast and so far, even beyond what the astral realm and the ETs and the angels, the angelic realm, all these other higher dimensions have ever even expected. Yeah. So if that helps you, I mean, there's so many variables. It's hard for me to go on and keep it all straight.
Yeah. We're coming close up to the hours, and I'm going to give you a chance to give out your information, people who live near you in Pennsylvania, how they can get to you.
Yes. My new website is aguidinglight.com, and it's LITE. And, I have, another website, Universal Talk, Universal Talk. Yeah. And, if you just put Universal Talk, if you Google it, it'll come up. And I mean, yeah. I've interviewed people like you guys have, like, James Gilliland and, oh my gosh.
Just yeah. You've got a bunch.
So many people. And so if you would start at the very beginning of my shows and start listening, you'll see all the little pieces of the puzzle like I talked about. Each person has been somewhere, like George Green. I mean, he was in the Carter presidency for the finances, so he knew that part of it. You know, another, say, a CIA agent or Bob Dean. I met him out at Laughlin, and he was on my show. And he was the highest top secret, cosmic top secret, and that's the highest level. So he knows some stuff that most people don't know. So if you look at all these things and you listen to some of the interviews I've done, it kind of puts it all into a different perspective. I mean, that's the best thing I can do for you guys. I mean, other than, you know, if you come and you log on to my websites, I mean, I'm starting to do some personal healings and some hypnotherapy and Reiki via Skype, if that's of interest to anybody.
Great, great. Good stuff. Yeah. All good stuff. So, okay, well, we're going to continue this on in the archives, and it's been some great stuff. Yeah, I feel your energy is just amazing. So, yeah, join us over in the archives, guys. Condemnation Without Investigation is the height of ignorance.
Don't forget to listen to Brooks Agnew's show coming up next, and then come to the archives. Yeah. He comes on live, so you can give him a call. Yeah. All right.
Good stuff. Namaste.
Have a good night.